and we'll get started here. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're grateful for the time we've been able to spend under your word with other believers. And we pray we'd be encouraged as we spend this time. May the Holy Spirit, as the divine teacher, be one who does the teaching needed. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, we're coming back. We're making progress and starting to look at some of these things above that we're to be seeking out and setting our frame of mind on. And so, of course, the series we're pivoting off of Colossians 3, 1 and 2. In Colossians 3, 1, Paul says, if you then, it's just therefore, since you be co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. These things above would deal with your position in Christ, being one with Christ, identified with Christ, since you're co-risen with Christ. And we're going to seek these things. We're going to have to look in God's word to find these things. And as we find these things in God's word, then we can move to Colossians 3:2, set your frame of mind on things above. And I like to translate this as, keep setting your frame of mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. And so we've started to look at some of these things. We've had a message where we looked at the believer as is chosen. We went through a message and we can say that the believer is chosen or elect. It's a perfectly fine word, but we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the universe. It goes back into eternity past. And so the believer is chosen. Then we had a message where we considered that the believer is called. And the call is a call to salvation. And so we could even say that the believer is called or summoned to salvation. And we know this call or summons to salvation is through the gospel. And when the believer is summoned through the gospel to their salvation, they're immersed into Christ by spirit baptism. And so we are in Christ. And this is in God the Father's point of view. It's his opinion. When we are immersed into Christ, we are in Christ. This is from God the Father's point of view. And so when I say that, don't, always keep in mind that, God is truth. He always sees things as they really are. And then last week, we looked at the fact that the believer is sanctified or set apart. And so in Christ, the believer is set apart, sanctified. We're sanctified in Christ. We can see we're set apart to God the Father. And so the believer has positional sanctification in Christ. We are set apart in Christ and to God. And so this is something that happens the moment you're immersed into Christ. You have positional sanctification. Now, we touched on this briefly last week. I have a couple more messages dealing with possessions that we have in Christ. And then I might do one summary message that we're going to look at how they relate to present tense salvation. Because when we talk about positional sanctification, this is what God the Father counts as completely set apart in Christ. Well, in present tense salvation, hopefully we're experiencing progressive sanctification as we get to touch and taste our sanctification in Christ. We're going to be conformed to the image of the Son. We're going to become more and more sanctified unto God in our practice. And so that's looking at progressive sanctification. So anyway, these are things we've already talked about. Today we want to add to our growing list. And so we're looking at the believer's possessions here. And so one of the possessions that we have is redemption. And so we have redemption in Christ. And so we possess redemption. So we have been redeemed. We're redeemed ones. And we have as a possession redemption. Let me take you over to Romans 3:24. And here Paul says, being justified. Now, this is another possession that we have in Christ that we will, Lord willing, talk about next week. But being justified means just the idea of being declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so this redemption, there's an action that was involved that was part of our being redeemed. And so the question that we have to ask is, well, what is redemption? I mean, it's a perfectly good theological word, but what is redemption? And so my goal isn't to teach Greek here, but this is one of the places where the Greek can really help us in understanding the ideas behind some of these words. And so when we look at the idea, the meaning, the definition behind redemption, we want to go to the Greek here and see what does this word mean. In the Greek, the word is apolatrosis. And so it's a Greek compound word that you'll notice if, you know, you might notice it has a cis ending. And so a cis ending is telling us that an action is indicated by the cis ending. There's an action involved in redemption. Now, when we start to look at the root, and so you hear apolatrosis, let's just take off the apo for now, latrosis. And then when we break that down even further, we could look at a noun called the lutron. A noun, lutron, it only occurs two times in the New Testament. But a lutron is, in the Greek, it's a ransom or a price paid. And so we're just going to take a look at some of these ideas. Now, lutron, it's connected to the root luo. The verb luo has the idea to loose. So now we're starting to get some of the elements of our definition. When we look at latrosis, or yeah, if we look at just latrosis, that has the idea of a redemption via a ransom that's been paid. And so let's take a look just to illustrate the root here of lutron, a noun. And let's just go over to Mark 10:45. So we're just going to look at some of the different words with the same root to kind of help with our understanding of redemption. And so let's see, I said Mark. I don't know why I'm in a different book. Mark 10:45. And so this is our noun, lutron, and it's translated a ransom. A ransom. This would be a price paid. And so let's just drop in right into the verse, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to minister to be ministered unto, but to minister, the idea to serve. He didn't come to be served, but rather to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. And so here's our word just translated, you know, to give the life of him a ransom, a price paid, just instead of the many. And so just for many. It's a lutron, a price paid, a ransom. When we look at the verb, just lutrao or lutraomai, the verb just has the idea to loose, to release for a ransom. And it's to redeem. We can translate the verb redeem. And for an illustration of this, let's just go to Luke 24:21. Okay, Luke 24:21. Now, I would just say here is just, you know, keep in mind that Israel expected redemption through the Messiah. They were expecting deliverance through the Messiah. And so, I'll just back up to verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and had crucified him. But we, it says trusted, just we were hoping that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And so there's our word, our verbal form of latromai or latrao, to lose, to release by a ransom paid. That he would have redeemed Israel. And besides all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. And so you get a little bit of an idea of where we're dropping into in that context, but it was just to illustrate our verb here, to redeem, to loose for a ransom. And so that's our verb. Now, I mentioned the word we were looking at in Romans 3:24 is apolutrosis, but we do have the Greek noun latrosis three times in the New Testament without the apo in compound. And it's typically translated redemption. It has the idea of a deliverance through a ransom paid. And so I just want to illustrate this noun. And so let's go over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. And so this is just latrosis. And so this is, we would just translate this redemption here. And so just remember, redemption is the idea of a deliverance through a ransom paid. And so in Hebrews 9:12, I'll just drop right into the verse. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. And so, obviously, we're speaking of Christ here. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. And so, here we're just illustrating this noun, latrosis. And what's being depicted here is Christ paid the ransom with his own blood. And having obtained the idea of, and what does the King James say? Let me just see. Yeah, eternal redemption. Just securing an eternal redemption through the ransom paid, which was his blood. And we could go on in the context. I just wanted to illustrate this word, the idea of deliverance, that, you know, Christ paid the ransom with his own blood. And his blood is looking at his physical death. Now, when we come to the word we looked at in Romans 3:24, and that's apolutrosis. And so that's the word we just saw with an apo and compound. Now, when that happens in the Greek, these Greek compound words tend to intensify. And so this is this prefix, the action is intensified, as in, rather than just redemption, this is like a complete redemption problem. And so sometimes when I have apolutrosis being translated redemption, I'll add the word complete redemption. So now you know, if you hear me saying complete redemption, what I'm doing. And so when we talk about the believer in Christ, and we have redemption as a possession, we have possessional redemption. We have a complete redemption. And so that complete redemption is indicating there's been a complete releasing provided by a ransom paid. There's a complete releasing by a ransom paid. Now, first, let's just go back and see in a verse connected back to redemption as part of one of our possessions in Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 30. Now, I will back up to verse 29 for context here. And we see here that, in this context, and I won't back up too far, but, God didn't choose the cream of the crop to save. And we see in verse 29 that no flesh should boast before thee God. And then we see in verse 30, but out from him, talking about God the Father, are you in Christ Jesus? This goes back to God the Father's choice. And so out from him, are you in Christ Jesus? And how did you get into Christ Jesus? Well, God chose you in eternity past. And then in time, you were called to your salvation. You were summoned to your salvation through the gospel. And when you believed the gospel for initial salvation, at that moment, you were baptized into Christ. You were immersed into Christ. And so out from God are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom from God. Wisdom from God. Now, wisdom implies the knowledge for application. And then we see we have three terms listed here after this. Righteousness, which, Lord willing, that will be a message next week. We have positional righteousness. Sanctification. We possess in Christ positional sanctification. We've been set apart in Christ. And redemption. And this is apolutrosis. This is complete redemption. There's been a complete releasing provided by a ransom paid. Now we're going to see some things that are tied, because we know the complete redemption was through his blood. So that was the ransom paid. Now think about, I want you to think about grace briefly. And I was going to look this up. I can't remember who this should be attributed to, if this goes back to Schofield or before that. But grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. So to you and I, it's free. It's grace. But it wasn't without a cost. And there was a ransom that had to be provided for us to experience this redemption, this complete releasing. And it's our Savior that provided that price paid. Now, let's go and look at a few things in Scripture that relates to this redemption, this complete releasing that's involved. And so let's go to Ephesians 1:7. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, I mean, we're dealing with a lot of decree material here. We could go back to 1:4. We see that according as he, the Father, has chosen us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the universe, that we should be holy and without spot before him in love. And then in verse 5, and I always have to retranslate this because it's not having predestinated, but having marked off the boundaries beforehand to son placement through Jesus Christ into himself, according to the good pleasure of his desirous will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, of which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Talking about in the one who's in a state of being loved, Christ. He's graced us. He's highly favored us in the beloved. And then we come to verse 7. And so the in whom here is talking about our position in Christ. Remember, we got in Christ. We're in Christ out from the Father as to source. But that happens in time when we are immersed into Christ by spirit baptism. And so we are in Christ, in whom we have redemption. And so here is just in whom we have the redemption, the complete redemption through his blood. And so here we go. You get the, you know, the picture of the blood. It was the ransom paid. The blood is the price paid. Blood is typically going back and emphasizing his physical death. Now it's interesting here because, you know, the King James is going to tie what this complete releasing that was provided deals with, one of the things. And it deals with an aspect of unrighteousness. Now, the King James reads sins here, the forgiveness of sins. The Greek word, though, this is not our word for sins. This isn't looking at acts of sins. This is a form of unrighteousness. This is trespasses, the forgiveness of trespasses. And so what are trespasses? Are trespasses and sins synonymous? Are they the same thing? No, they're not. Trespasses are something that happen in the mind. Trespasses are when we make a lust our own and we start to consider it as a viable option, and then we determine to do it. That's a trespass. That's a trespass. That's offensive to God. It's unrighteous. But it's not sin yet until we actually act on it. And so here, though, we see part of our complete redemption that's through his blood ties to the forgiveness of trespasses, to the mental unrighteousness that happens before sin. And we see this is according to the riches of his grace. And this is what made me think of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And so we see this forgiveness of trespasses as being tied to this complete redemption. Now remember, redemption is it's a complete releasing provided from a ransom that paid. Now, well, what about sins? What about sins? Well, let's go over to the Ephesians sister epistle. And I call it that because they have a lot of things in common. They were probably written very closely together. In fact, they were sent to these two churches at the same time through the same courier. And so let's go over to Colossians. And we'll pick up in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Let me pick up in verse 13 here. And so talking about the Father who has delivered us out from the authority of darkness. The word power is our word authority. And he's translated us. He's just transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Not just to the son of his love. And so I just wanted to grab the antecedent to in whom is son here, his beloved son, in whom, talking about in Christ in verse 14, we have redemption. And so we, and this is a present active indicative, we continuously have redemption, this complete redemption through his blood. Just like in Ephesians 1:7. But here, this is translated correctly. This is even the forgiveness of sins. So we also see, not only do we have, as part of a complete redemption, a payment that's been made for trespasses, and we have forgiveness. Here we continuously have the forgiveness of sins. And so we have this as a possession. It's part of our complete redemption. This means that the full payment has been made. It's settled. It's settled. And so, you know, when you think about that, what does that mean for your present tense salvation? Does that make you want to go out and sin? Because you have complete redemption? You know, I hope not. I hope not. But yet, you might see some Christians that tend to want to go back and still live as they weren't released. That they didn't have a releasing from a ransom being paid. You probably have heard stories of people that have been incarcerated in prison. And they've been incarcerated so long that when they finally get their release, they're not comfortable being free. And some of them will even choose to do something to be back incarcerated. Now, for us, for some who haven't been incarcerated and maybe are free, you might be looking at that person and think, why would they want to go back to being incarcerated? It makes no sense. And, you know, that can be a complicated answer. But obviously, maybe they don't have a knowledge of what the freedom could have for them. They don't have any experience with that freedom. And so when we look at Christians and living out our present tense salvation is we want to have the knowledge about what we have in our salvation, and then we want to get some experience with it. I mean, think about it this way. In future tense salvation, we're all going to be changed to be like him. We're going to see things like God sees things. Do you think any one of us at that particular time will think then that we would like to go back to like we were before we were redeemed before we had complete redemption? No, absolutely not. It's God's grace is irresistible. And so present tense salvation is about putting into practice what God has provided. And as we learn about what we have been released from, and then what we have freedom to do, as we gain experiential knowledge of that, we're going to want to function. We're going to want to get with God's program. Redemption. We have complete redemption. The full payment has been made for a full deliverance. We can see, let's go back to Ephesians in chapter 1. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one who allows us to experience this redemption, this releasing that we've had. This releasing that we've had from being in bondage in our former position in Adam, when we were in bondage to the sin nature, and all we could do was serve the sin nature. We were enslaved. We were enslaved to the sin nature. But we have a choice now. We have a choice in present tense salvation. We can still live as we are incarcerated and bound to the sin nature, but we don't have to. We don't have to. We have the potential to experience our positional sanctification, being set apart to God, serving God, to experience the complete redemption that we have, because the full payment's been made. There's a full deliverance. Now, and I'm going back to Ephesians, I kept going by it. We see that the Holy Spirit, though, he's an important part of making that possible for us. Let me just drop into Ephesians 1:14. Let me back up to 1:13. We have another in whom, talking about in Christ. You also trusted, King James, just hoped, after, just when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after or when that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so you were sealed. Now when we get to verse 14, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So the King James starts off verse 14, which, and I would just translate it, who? He's a person. So who? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is the earnest? And so what is an earnest? Well, an earnest is a pledge. It's a down payment. It's a guarantee. It's a guaranteeing deposit. That's what an earnest is. It's a guaranteeing deposit. And so the Holy Spirit is the guaranteeing deposit of our inheritance. And so there's an inheritance that comes with having full deliverance from a full ransom that's been paid. And the Holy Spirit is the guaranteeing deposit of this inheritance that's coming. And so who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption? And this is our word, apolatrosis, until the complete redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And so this is kind of the idea. I thought it was interesting. The ESV You know, I have a number of different translations open, and the ESV is a newer translation. It translates it until we acquire possession of it. I thought that was interesting. That's kind of the idea, until the redemption of the purchased possession, till the complete redemption of the purchased possession. The full payment has been made. And so we possess positionally this redemption. If we have another verse that relates to this here in Ephesians, let's go over to Ephesians 4:30. And so this also deals with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to minister to believers that are spiritual. He wants to make up where we lack mentally in Christ-likeness. And this can make a huge difference then, as far as what we do, how we see things, how we relate to one another, being able to be used of God, being able to love God by loving the brethren. And so in Ephesians 4:30, though, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." And he uses a may prohibitive here, just the idea of stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God or from God. Grieving, and the idea of grieving here is, it is a grieving process. It's a sorrow. And so stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. When we're carnal, when we have unconfessed sin in our life, when we're carnal, when we're unthankful, when we're saying no to God, the Holy Spirit's not going to be ministering like he wants to. He's not going to be filling. But there's a grieving process. Now, the grieving process is important for the believer. This is why I've often mentioned this in classes. You know, we may have been able to do things before we were saved, and we could get away with it, or maybe we didn't have a lot of problem with it. It didn't maybe affect us one way or the other. But now, as a believer, we can go back. If we get involved in those things, it's not going to be the same. Because the Holy Spirit will be grieving. Now, I'm off on a little sidetrack of where we're going with the message, just to talk about one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in his grieving. That grieving, by the way, is to bring about a change of mind. That's something, as believers, we want to be sensitive to that. Because it should bring about a change of mind. And let me just illustrate that really quick. Let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm just going to drop into verse 10 here. I mean, I could expand this context, but I just want to illustrate this concept. So Paul says here, for godly sorrow, and for godly sorrow, just the grief measured by God, works repentance. And this word for works, it has the idea that it works down, it works out, repentance. Repentance being a change of mind. Not to be repented of or regretted of, but the grief of the world works death. and so this godly grief, though, it works out a change of mind. The grief of the world doesn't work out a change of mind. But godly grief does. And so when we're grieving the Holy Spirit, and that's how he's ministering to us when we're not in a proper relationship to the persons of the Godhead, it should work out a change of mind. And remember, you always have 1 John 1:9. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, get rid of it. Don't carry it around. Just confess it to the Father. Don't let it be a hindrance to you, to your Christian life. And all you're doing is that you're not asking for forgiveness. You're just repeating to God what he already knows. You're just lining up with what God says. And then that removes that hindrance in your present tense salvation. And anyway, so coming back to Ephesians 4:30, stop grieving the Holy Spirit, whereby, or just whom by you are sealed unto the day of complete redemption. And just by whom you are sealed unto the day of, and this is apolatrosis, complete redemption. And so this day of complete redemption, I believe he's talking about, this is future tense salvation. Future tense salvation. Now, what day? This is the day where our positional redemption becomes our full experience. So this full releasing that has occurred from a number of things is going to become our full experience. And so all that was released through the payment of the ransom through Christ's blood, it's going to be ours in its entirety. That's the day of complete redemption, looking at future tense salvation. Let's go over to Romans 8. And so this is also looking at future tense salvation over in Romans 8 and verse 23. I'm going to back up in verse 21. And before I read Romans 8:21 through 8:23, we've all, the moment we were baptized into Christ, we were all placed as sons, as sonship. And so positionally, we are all sons. We have a place of privilege in Christ, and that place of privilege means we get to use some of the things that we have as heirs, as an heir. That's kind of looking at the place of privilege. And so we have positional sonship, and we'll talk about this in the series, Lord willing, another time. But I wanted to just reference that because it's not yet manifested that we are placed as sons. But that's going to happen in future tense salvation. And so with that thought in mind, let me come here to Romans 8:21. Because the creation, not creature, but the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the born ones of God. And we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And so it hasn't experienced being released, delivered. And then we see in Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have not the first fruits, but it's the first fruit. Singular. Now, what is the first fruit? Well, I would just cross off and take this oppositionally. And then, so I say that for Pascal, who's doing a lot more diagramming in the Greek, is we have the first fruit, the Spirit. The first fruit is the Spirit. Remember the first fruit, he's the earnest. He's the guaranteeing deposit. And so we have the first fruit, the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And it says waiting for. I see the interlinear strengthens that term. I would strengthen it. We groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting is what the interlinear has under that word. It's the idea of eagerly expecting, waiting to welcome the, not adoption, but the son placement. The son placement. And then we see, namely, the complete redemption of our body. The complete loosing through a ransom paid of our body. And so this is something that's happening. The full price has been paid. This is going to happen in the future. We have it possessionally in our position. We have it positionally as a possession. And we will experience this when it's manifested that we are sons. And so we eagerly wait for son placement, the manifestation of it. It's tied to future tense salvation and the complete redemption of the body. And so these bodies are not saved yet. These bodies are still subject to death, to corruption, to decay. But we will receive a body like his. That's tied to our future tense salvation. Now, this concept of redemption, the concept of redeeming, you know, of ransom paid, and that brings a releasing. There is another word that I'm in it. It's tied to the concept of redeeming. It's agorazo, that has the idea to buy out of the marketplace. And so I'm adding it in here with this because I wanted to go, and I just want you to think about this, is over in 1 Corinthians 6:20. This isn't our word for redemption or to redeem. This isn't the verbal form to redeem. This is a different word, agorazo. It has the idea to buy out, though. That, you know, a price has been paid. And so here Paul reminds believers. He says, "For you are bought with a price." And so you were bought, and it's an aorist passive indicative. You were bought with a price, for a price. And so you were bought out of the market at a point in time, out of the marketplace at a point in time by another. That's an aorist passive. So you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God by your body and by your spirit. I'm translating both of those ends as by the way, by your body and by your spirit, which are God's. And it's articular, which are it's been purchased. A price has been paid. And so through the price paid, there has been a complete releasing, and we have redemption as a result of that. We have positional redemption. And as we're spirit believers, spirit-filled believers, spiritual, we can live in the realm of the releasing from our position in Adam, from our serving the sin nature, and it's only through the releasing from our position in Adam and serving the sin nature that we can truly serve God and act right before God. And so that's part of getting with the program and seeing what is God's program. We know where it leads to, but we don't have to wait to get to future tense salvation, to see things as God sees things, and saying, yeah, I don't want to go back to living like I'm enslaved to the sin nature. We can do that now. We have a choice now. That's what Romans 6 is all about. And So let me, well, we'll do this on another message. You know, this word for agorazo, I mean, there's a number of occurrences, but let's just go to one other place. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7:23. And we're seeing it just translated as bought. And so see, it just literally, it means you were bought out from a marketplace. And so, well, in verse 22, it says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a bond slave, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called being free is the Lord's bondservant." And then he says here, you all are bought with a price. Be not ye the bond slaves of men. And so, you know, we have the potential to be serving a new master because of the price that's been paid. Now, just a couple more verses to wrap it up. We have the verb. So we've been looking at apolytrosis, a complete redemption. The cis ending, it emphasizes that there's an action. An action is being emphasized in this releasing through a ransom paid. I want to look at two places where we have the verb litromai or litrao. And so this is this verb, it's just looking at to release on the receipt of a ransom. It's to liberate is the idea through a ransom paid. And so let's go to 1 Peter. And I want chapter 1. And I'll pick up in verse 18. And so our verb is going to be translated redeemed. And so just this verb, it just means release, to release on the basis of a ransom paid. And he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things, with, you know, decayable things, corruptible, perishable things, as silver and gold, from your vain manner of life." So you were not redeemed at a point in time by another with perishable things, as silver and gold, from your useless manner of life. The word vain is useless. Your useless manner of life. Received by tradition from your fathers, but rather, in verse 19, to finish this off, but rather, this tells you what you were redeemed with, but rather with the precious blood of Christ. Coming back to that again is the price paid, the ransom paid. You were redeemed rather with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's go one other place that we have this verb used, and it's in Titus. Titus in chapter 2. And so in Titus 2 and verse 14 is where we're going to have our verb. And it's an aorist subjunctive, and to translate that he might redeem. And this is in a context in looking at how grace is child training us as believers. It's instructing us that in verse 12, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live with a saving frame of mind, righteously and godly in this present age. And I understand this, not world, present world, but present age, present evil age. While looking for or waiting to welcome the happy hope, even the appearing of the glory of the great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we get to verse 14, and we're reminded here who gave himself for us. And here this is the huper preposition that's translated for. He gave himself on behalf of us, that he might redeem us. And remember this redeeming, it's a payment paid for a release. And so he gave himself on behalf of us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, just lawlessness, and purify unto himself a people for possession, just a peculiar people, that he might purify for himself a people for possession, zealous of good works. And so when we understand that the price has been paid in full, and there's a complete releasing that's been initiated, it's started. It started with our position. We were released from our former position in Adam. It continues with our being released from the sin nature. And it can continue into present tense salvation, as we'll receive the full content of what this redemption, this releasing from a ransom being paid, will experience in the salvation of these bodies and the soul. And at that time, we're going to experience our positional sanctification. There'll be a lot of things that are going to be tied into this. But we have positional redemption. And it's something that we can experience in our present tense salvation. And so, Lord willing, next week we're going to come back and we're going to look at another positional possession of righteousness. And so let's close. Father, thank you for the day. We're grateful for your word. We're thankful for the truths in it. We're grateful for our position in Christ. We're thankful that as we relate to these things, we can see things more and more the way you see things. And may we be those that are keep setting our frame of mind on these things. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.